This show is brought to you by Safety FM. Here is what you've missed on the Rated R Safety Show.
Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord.
Program is rated MALSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Finally, show with the balls to call it like it is. Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Countdown to audio torture.
The Rated R Safety Show starts in 3, 2, 1.
Let the eardrum pain begin.
Forget the corporate bullshit. This is the Rated R Safety Show with your host, Dr. It doesn't matter who the host is.
Well. It surely does not matter who the host is. Today is Monday, April the 13th of 2020, day 104 of the year. In only 260 days, two more days to go. How are you doing today? How was your weekend? How was Easter? I got to spend some time with some people yesterday via the broadcast, podcast, whatever you want to call it. Did some fun stuff there. So that was kind of interesting. Had some fun. Had some times there. What did you do over the weekend? Anything exciting? Anything out of the ordinary? Anything that brought you joy? Because that's the other portion. So yeah, we wanted to give you a little recap of what we did yesterday with a little bit of the COVID-19 remix there by Minister Kenneth Copeland. So hopefully you were able to take a listen to that if you hadn't seen it before. Anyways, let's get you started like we do with the rest of the shows currently and get you started with Feature Story News here on the Rated R Safety Show.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Simon Marks. On the day tough new restrictions on personal movement came into force in Moscow, Russia has recorded a record number of coronavirus infections, up by more than 2,500 in a single day. President Vladimir Putin says he may deploy the military to try and help confront the crisis. Meanwhile, nearly half of China's new coronavirus cases on Sunday were reported in travelers coming from Russia. Chinese cities are now tightening their controls along the Russian border. FSN's Moscow Bureau Chief Julia Chapman reports.
49 Chinese nationals returning home from Russia were diagnosed with COVID-19 on Sunday. They entered the country in Heilongjiang province, having crossed the border near the Russian city of Vladivostok. Russia closed its land border with China early on in the outbreak, but there was still some flow of traffic in the opposite direction. In recent weeks, the far eastern land border became one of the only ways for Chinese nationals to return home, after flights were halted between the two countries. Julia Chapman, Moscow.
In the US, there's growing evidence that President Trump is tiring of one of his top public health officials, Dr. Anthony Fauci. The president retweeted a call for him to be fired after Dr. Fauci, a key member of the president's coronavirus task force, said the US could have done more earlier to save lives. More than 22,000 people have died from COVID-19 in the United States, making it the country with the highest death toll. Confirmed cases now top more than 500,000. From FSN's Washington Bureau, Nick Harper reports.
The data from US University Johns Hopkins means America now passes Italy to take on the grim record. The country hit hardest by coronavirus, with the highest death toll. The US recently also became the first country to record more than 2,000 deaths in a single day. New York State remains the epicenter of the outbreak in America. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump is still weighing when to ease social distancing recommendations and reopen the economy. Existing guidelines expire at the end of the month, but some experts warn they should be extended until the end of May.
The day's other big story, the United States, Russia and Saudi Arabia have, along with other nations, agreed to cut oil production by 9.7 million barrels a day. FSN's Jagruti Dave reports on the landmark agreement.
The cuts came after oil prices plummeted as global economies shut down to curb the spread of COVID-19. President Trump tweeted about the deal, saying this will save hundreds of thousands of energy jobs in the United States. He thanked Russia and Saudi Arabia, whose feud had also contributed to the fall in crude oil prices.
One other headline, 13 people have died after tornadoes touched down in Louisiana, Texas and Mississippi. Around 100,000 people are without power. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
This show is almost as enjoyable as hearing the sound of the toilet flush.
Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Well, there's the news from Feature Story News. So there you get it from the true experts, as I like to say, giving you the news stories. And I'm going to get into my normal rhetoric, but as you already know, I have to do some things before we get started.
We at Safety FM are not responsible for what this idiot behind the microphone is saying.
He is trying to be entertaining.
Rated R Safety Show.
Here is the news on the Rated R Safety Show.
Anyway, so bringing you news from the top on the Rated R Safety Show. First off, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is on the mend. Though he has been released from the hospital, he's expected to rest and recover in a few days in his country home. So, good things there that he's actually doing better. Anyways, if you have not taken a look, or if you are, depending on where you're at, so if you're watching us on the streaming services, we have several streaming services available right now. We have a plethora of streaming services, I might say. So right now we are on DLive. Yes, you did hear me right. DLive is one of them. We're also doing the thing on Mixer, as we've been talking. I didn't realize, but we were having some problems with Mixer that we weren't coming across. And then, of course, now what we have decided to do is you can actually come to safetyfm.tv. That is .tv, such as television. And you can take a look right there. We have incorporated a chat box, as we've discussed in the previous. That way you can chat right away. That actually will get us directly into the Twitch version. So that way you can actually have the conversation. The other portion that I want to make reference to relatively quick there is that if you are hanging out with us on Facebook, I can't see it. I can't see what you write. I don't know why. It just happens that way. I've been trying to figure it out for days. But for some reason, it just doesn't come over on the system that we're using, and I just don't know why it is.
Duh.
Anyways, let's continue. The Internal Revenue Service reported Saturday that the first round of stimulus payments have been processed for those with direct deposit on file. In a tweet, the government agency added, "We know that many people are anxious to get their payment, and we'll be continue issuing them as fast as we can." So that's something that's going on right there. So it's something that's good, available. I don't know. Have you checked your account? Do you qualify, number one, for the actual payment? And number two, if you do, have you received the payment? Because that's going to be the other fun part as we do these things. And that's going to be something that we're going to have to continue to take a look at. You know, these things are going to change. We're going to have to take a look at the different aspects, the different items. So as you're going through it, just let's kind of go through it together. Don't let it bother you like crazy, If you haven't got it so far, now that they are saying the direct deposit ones are going to go in quicker, especially if you filed your taxes for 2018 and 2019. Now, if you do get the paper check, they are saying that it is a little bit longer. You can go to the IRS.gov website to get some additional information.
Duh.
Just to share that info with you. Pope Francis celebrated Easter Mass to an empty St. Peter's Basilica on Sunday, an event that would usually pack the church. In an official Vatican transcript, Francis called the blessing on frontline workers. He also called the unity in the aftermath and at the end of the end to the rivalries between families and countries. The mass live streamed around the world. So did you take a look at that thing? Did you take a look at the plethora of information that he shared there? Did you take a look? Did you watch the stream? It was one of those things that's normally it's pretty packed. So the assumption, because it is an assumption at this point, that quite a few people were actually taking a watch of it. I don't know. I didn't watch it. Just telling you.
We are now video streaming the Rated R Safety Show. I don't know why our host has a face for radio. Rated R Safety Show.
Man, judgy here. What I have to say there. Anyways, the Daily Mail reports that while outlaw Julian Assange took asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, he fathered two children with his lawyer, 37-year-old Stella Morris. She says the pair fell in love while working together on his legal defense. The kids include 2-year-old Gabriel and 1-year-old Max. Assange and Morris have been engaged since 2017. Assange is currently in a high-security British prison. So besides that he's getting screwed like everybody else in the world at the moment with the whole COVID-19 stuff, then he's locked up to make this even more interesting. Man.
Duh.
Anyways, the Mars Preservation rover slated to blast off from Earth this summer will be taking a helicopter with it. Yeah, you heard me correctly there. It will be the first aircraft to fly on another planet. The rover is expected to land on the red planet sometime in next February. Yeah, next February. So we'll be taking off and then taking a look and going from there and saying, hey, next February is where it's at. So good stuff there. Anywho, let's continue. OPEC and its global partners have formalized an agreement to dramatically scale back production through June. So you just heard that news story that was actually given to us by Feature Story News. So as you heard, they're going to cut back from 9.7 million barrels that they were doing a day. So that's what they're cutting back just to be able to, you know, keep things to scale. So I guess that's interesting.
Duh.
As we take a look at it there. So what do you think as you hear this? Is this something that you go, that's a good thing, that's a bad thing? What's going to happen? Because right now, like in the area that I'm in, fuel's roughly about, I want to say $1.73. So are we going to see an increase in the price? And anyways, if you're supposed to be social distancing and a little bit locked up, wouldn't it be one of those things where you take a look at it and go, I'm not supposed to be out knowing what the price of gas is. But that's just something to think about. Anyways, the emoji industry is the latest to face setbacks from the coronavirus. Yeah, you heard me correctly there. I did say the emoji industry. The Unicode Consortium, which regulates emoji standards across the country and between apps and phone developers, say that they're pushing back several new additions from March to September of 2021. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Since the rollout typically takes about a couple of months, don't expect anything new next year. Yeah. But fret not, the gender neutral Santa Claus was debuted in January and will still be released this fall.
Duh.
So, something to think about if that's important to you. I don't know how important the emoji game is. To some it is, to some it isn't. I don't know. I just take a look and share the news with you. With social distancing guidelines formally set to expire at the end of April, Dr. Anthony Fauci says that rolling reentry program will be considered at the end of May to reopen the American economy. He said that the government will develop protocols for areas of the country and certain sectors where regulations can be eased. So that's something to take a look at. You also just heard also based on Feature Story News that they're also looking to out him. especially when you have the president of the United States retweeting Fire Fauci.
Duh.
So something to take a look at as we move forward, of course.
Listen to our host
of the Rated R Safety Show. Self-implode on our airwaves, only on Safety FM.
Okay, so Texas authorities have confirmed that at least two tornadoes touched down on Sunday while dangerous storms blew through Louisiana. As of Sunday evening, no deaths had been reported. Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega seems to be missing. As the country carries on life as usual amid the coronavirus outbreak, Ortega has not appeared in public for about a month. The official party say that there is only been eight coronavirus cases, and one death, all which they report were contracted externally. The best connection to the government is the vice president, who holds a telephone briefing with the media and happens to be, well, Ortega's wife. Anyways, I got some more for you. Nah, maybe we shouldn't do that one yet. Let's kind of hold off. Before I do this, let me tell you this news story. Found this one over the weekend. Thought that was kind of interesting. In Czech, nudists were told to wear face masks by the police. Yeah, you heard me correctly. CNN is reporting that face masks are mandatory everywhere, but strict rules on wearing them have been enforced in the Czech Republic, even for nudists. The European country has begun the relaxed restriction of imposed because of the coronavirus, but as weighed in on concerns late last month, police were called to remind people that while it's okay to get naked in designated public places, mouths still need to be covered. I can't make this up, ladies and gentlemen. I wish I could.
Duh.
But, okay, so I can go outside in a designated area and be nude, but I have to have my mouth covered. Man, does that raise a whole other story that I could actually go into, but I'm sure we shouldn't cover that information because it's the Rated R Safety Show, not the XXX Safety Show. Anyways, that's a whole other story, I guess, for a different day if we leave it that way.
Rated R Safety Show.
Sarcastic? Never.
So let's kind of get into some information that I wanted to cover with you. I found this news story. I thought it was pretty interesting. What I'm going to do is something different because I normally don't do it in this format, but I think that this one's kind of important enough that we should share everything that's going on. And this actually came from Face the Nation on CBS. So let's take a look together at what we got going on. So let's go from here.
We turn now to Neil Kashkari, president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. He also led the Treasury Department's 2008 TARP program. He joins us from Minneapolis. Thank you for joining us. Clearly, you know what a crisis is like and how to navigate one. I want to ask you about the jobs crisis right now, because 16 million Americans have filed for unemployment since these restrictions went into place due to the virus. The St. Louis Fed says we could see 47 million Americans losing their jobs. Where is your prediction of a bottom?
Well, we just don't know. I've been listening to your program this morning, Margaret, and we just don't know the path of the virus. That's going to determine how long the shutdown needs to take place and ultimately how many Americans lose their jobs and how quickly we can get them back to work when the economy turns back on. So there are wide ranges of estimates of how wide or how high the unemployment rate's going to go, but it's all driven by the virus and how effective we are in the healthcare system is to catching up and to controlling it.
So these estimates or predictions of a V-shaped economy, that the economy just going to turn right back on when people go back to work, is overly optimistic.
I think so. It would be wonderful if some new therapy were developed in the next couple months that people could have confidence to go back to work, that they could get treatment. Then potentially we would have a V-shaped recovery. But barring some healthcare miracle like that, it seems like we're going to have various phases of rolling flare-ups, as we heard from your guest from Washington, different parts of the economy turning back on, maybe turning back off again. This could be a long, hard road that we have ahead of us until we get to either an effective therapy or a vaccine. It's hard for me to see a V-shaped recovery under that scenario.
Well, it looks like Congress and the administration underestimated the amount of pain small business owners are in. Their predictions that the $350 billion put aside could be exhausted, and that's why Congress is talking about adding another $250 billion. They're fighting about it, at least. What will the impact be if Congress doesn't make that package bigger this week?
Well, I think it's very important. A lot of small businesses are saying they want to keep their business together. They want to keep their employees employed, which is really, really important so that we don't have even more job losses. So that's good. The banks are trying to step in. The small businesses are trying to do their part. But we know that the $350 billion is not going to meet the needs across all of the small businesses in America. So it'll end up being first come, first serve, who end up getting the assistance and who's left on the sidelines. I'm optimistic. I think Congress will come together to provide more support to small businesses. But then again, we don't know how, if this support is going to be long enough, because if we need to have different phases of shutdowns for the next several months or until we have a therapy or vaccine, they're going to need more help than that.
Right. And the Fed is part of this strategy because, as we've detailed this week, there are about $2.3 trillion in loans that the Federal Reserve that you're part of could issue to businesses, to states, and to local governments. You said in the last crisis that the mistake was going sort of too small and being too timid. This time around, is there enough money being thrown at this problem?
I think there is in terms of what the Fed can do. I think our chairman is being very, very aggressive. He's learned from our experience in 2008, and the whole Federal Reserve is being as aggressive as possible. That's the right thing to do. I think Congress is also being very aggressive. But again, it goes back to the progression of the virus. If we're going to have economic distress until we have a vaccine, then it's going to be up to Congress to keep coming back to provide support to the American people. We can't shut down the economy for 18 months, but we need to find ways of getting the people who are healthy, who are at lower risk, back to work, and then providing the assistance to those who are most at risk, who are going to need to be quarantined or isolated for the foreseeable future. That's a real challenge for all of us.
Your colleague, James Bullard of the St. Louis Fed, was with us last week, and he said that the answer lies fully in technology. It's testing and surveillance, getting people before they walk into their employer to have a test and wear a badge. I mean, is that your guidance here, too?
Well, I would love it if that were possible. I've talked to some healthcare experts who say that it's a fantasy that we're going to be able to test tens of millions of people every day, that there simply is not the equipment, there's not the supply chain. I hope they're wrong. That's a real concern. I don't think we should put all of our eggs only in the mass testing basket. We should try to make that work. We should also invest fully in vaccines, fully in therapies. But then I think we're going to need to be smart about how we start to reopen parts of the economy with those who are at lowest risk until that capacity and that testing and those vaccines and therapies come online. I think we need an all of the above approach because we don't know where we're going to have the breakthrough.
Many Americans this month had to suspend their mortgage payments. They just couldn't pay because of what their reality is. And I know Jay Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, has said they're watching carefully the mortgage servicers. What is the degree of risk here that we are looking at some kind of housing crisis, financial crisis?
Well, we know that ultimately, if this goes on long enough, these losses roll up into the banking sector. People don't pay their mortgage. A coffee shop doesn't pay their landlord. The landlord then can't pay the bank's mortgage. And so it ends up rolling up into the banking sector. Right now, the banks are well capitalized relative to where they were in 2006. But if this goes on long enough, it could produce strains in the banking sector. And then the Fed and Congress and Treasury would have to step in to make sure that the banks are sound. So it's something I think we're all watching very closely.
When you say long enough, what is the timeline that you're worried about?
I'm focusing on 18 months because we're looking around the world as they relax the economic controls, the virus flares back up again. And that makes intuitive sense because so many people have the disease, but they don't show any symptoms. So you don't know who's spreading the disease and who isn't. So we could have these waves of flare-ups and controls until we actually get a therapy or a vaccine. I think we should all be focusing on an 18-month strategy for our healthcare system and our economy. If it ends up being shorter than that, that's great. We should prepare for the worst-case scenario.
All right. Neil Kashkari, thank you for your insights.
So what do you think there? I know it's probably not the info you want to hear, but something for sure to think about. I mean, I think the guy knows what he's talking about, of course. I mean, that's kind of a dead on there. Anyway, so that's something to think, something to consider. This is what's going on currently. And I know that I was talking about last night, for the ones that got to listen, that we have roughly about 1,900% of people that were on it, that were actually requesting not to pay their mortgage since the mid part of March. So from that particular portion on, that was the amount of increase in request that they have actually seen come about. So what are you thinking here? What do you think is going to be the case going forward? I keep on looking at it and I go, I'm kind of amazed with some of the things that are going on. But when you kind of live in an area where the majority of people cannot afford a $400 emergency, this is going to be something that we're going to run into. The other portion to think about right away, of course, as well, is that a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. And just how it's set up. I mean, right now, if you take a look at it and you're getting a stimulus check, they're saying that that is based on 40 hours a week for 4 weeks. And you got a little bit extra on top of it. Think about that as you receive those checks, if you do qualify for it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Something is absolutely better than nothing. But what are you thinking here? Anyways, let's continue. Have you heard about this news story right here? Apple partner contact technology and on tracing Google. Okay, let me try that again. Apple and Google partner on COVID-19 contact tracing technology. So, you heard this. And if you haven't, this actually came out on Friday, which has kind of been hidden inside of the news cycle, unless you got it directly, where right now, Apple and Google are getting together. Across the world, governments and health authorities are working together to find solutions to the COVID-19 pandemic. To protect people, to get society back up and running, software developers and contributors are by crafting technology tools to help combat the virus and save lives. In this spirit of collaboration, Google and Apple are announcing a joint effort to enable the use of Bluetooth technology to help government and healthcare agencies reduce the spread of the virus, with users' privacy and security the central to the design. Yeah, you heard me there. So let's continue. Since COVID-19 can be transmitted through close proximity to affected individuals, public health officials have identified contact tracing as a solution tool to help contain its spread. A number of leading public health authorities, universities, and NGOs around the world have been doing important work to develop an opt-in contact tracing technology. To further this cause, Apple and Google will be launching a comprehensive solution that includes application program interface APIs and operating systems level technology to assist enabling contact tracing. Given the urgent need, the plan to implement the solution is two steps while maintaining strong protection around user privacy. First, in May, both companies will release APIs that enable they're going to actually release this API that will work between Android and iOS using apps from public health authorities. These official apps will be available for users to download via their respective app stores. Second, in the coming months, Apple and Google will work to enable broader Bluetooth-based contact tracing platforms by building this functionality into underlying platforms. This is a more robust solution than an API and would allow more individuals to participate if they choose to opt in, as well as enable interaction with broader ecosystem of apps and government health authorities. Privacy, transparency, and consent are the utmost importance in this effort, and we look forward to building this functionality. In consultation with the interests of stockholders, we will openly publish information about our work for others to analyze. All of us at Apple and Google believe that there has never been a more important moment to work together to solve one of the world's most pressing problems. Through close cooperation and collaboration with developers, government, and public health providers, we hope to harness the power of technology to help countries around the world slow the spread of COVID-19. And accelerate the return to everyday life. So as you hear that, how uncomfortable are you feeling at the moment? Are you taking a look and going, is this going to be something else where it's a potential invasion of privacy? And I'm just asking to ask the question. I'm not trying to rile a controversy, but I know that a lot of people are very, very concerned about their privacy. But how much is this going to change it? I mean, we keep on hearing about badges. We keep on hearing about different ways to reference. Now, if they start tracking, and I'm talking about in general, how you're able to interact with somebody in your close proximity based on Bluetooth technology, what are you going to do with your phone? Are you going to feel comfortable using your phone, or are you going to start running into questions if you should use it or not? Just something to think about. I just keep on wondering myself what exactly some of us will do.
You are listening to a Radio God. What? This has to be an error. That host is not a Radio God. Anyways, this is the Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Anyways, let's continue. No winner for the lottery on Friday night's Mega Million drawing. Tuesday's drawing will be for $145 million jackpot or $115.2 million cash payout. No winner for Saturday night's Powerball drawing either. Wednesday's drawing will be for $22 million jackpot or a $17.7 million cash payout. At some point, somebody must have won. Because I could have swore those were not the numbers that I gave out the last time. But who the hell knows? I'm not even keeping track half the time.
Duh.
Anyways, weekend box office. Well, most of the theaters being closed. It's kind of hard to have that conversation because we don't really know what's tracking. The other portion that I want to reference, it was last night I had a conversation and was talking about how AMC is now meeting with bankruptcy lawyers. So hopefully it's just a bankruptcy thing. They're able to stay in business if we're able to get back to some virginality of the norm. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Because there's so many different things that are going on out there. Also, I want to bring this up real quick before I forget. Have you seen some of the information the Department of Labor is now requesting related to COVID-19? As of late Friday, they were saying that this is going to be something that needs to be reported going forward. Did you see that news story? How is that going to work inside of your organizations going forward? I just keep on wondering what's going to happen, because it's going to be pretty interesting if that's something that's going to need to be reported moving forward. Anyway, something to think about, of course. Also, before I forget, we do have 10 winners for our ads giveaway. We will be contacting. There were some problems over the weekend that we were unable to do so we'll be doing that here shortly, just so you know, so we did not forget about you, so you'll start seeing those rolling out relatively quick. Anyways, let's talk about the days of the year that you can celebrate today. National Make Lunch Count Day. National Scramble Day. National Peach Cobbler Day. National Thomas Jefferson Day. And White House Easter Egg Roll Day. What the hell does that even mean? Anyways, so that's what we have going on. Some fun stuff there. Also, the other portion, I've had so much excitement with some of this this music by Kenneth Copeland that they've been putting together. I wanted to share something else that I found with you. So let's take a look at this one together.
I demand a vaccination to come immediately. Yeah. The United States of America is here.
I execute judgment on your COVID-19.
You killer,
no more.
You break your power.
I execute judgment on your COVID-19.
You killer,
no more.
You break your power.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, so that's some interesting stuff, of course. I mean, I just like to share some of the information that I'm able to find because, you know, that's what we do here because you are listening to the Rated R Safety Show and we are trying to be a news-centric show because that's what we do. Anyways, always thank you for being the greatest part of Safety FM, and that is the listener. Starting this week, we will start fulfilling some of the different things that we actually have going on Patreon. So, if you take a listen, we will be doing our different tier levers starting this week, starting with the first episode of the Jay Allen Show starting tomorrow, where you'll get the unedited cut depending on the tier that you're on. Anyways, thank you for always being the best part of Safety FM, and that's the listener. I know who you are. You know who I am. Love you. Mean it. Bye.
Duh.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.